You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
It's 7 minutes after 11 o'clock. Welcome to the third and final hour of the CBS Makaza Show with me, Gogs Mklungu. Good to be with you. And we're together until midday today. As mentioned just before your latest eyewitness news, there's been quite a few incidences around the country of violence in schools, highlighting the continuing issue of safety in schools, which I guess is around a broader issue about safety in communities. We heard earlier on this week that Gauteng MEC, Banya Zeli Sophie, was due to visit Norcombe Park High following a spate of violence last week. Some students have been suspended. We saw the video that came out of Siyatutuga Primary in Inanda of that young man assaulting the young woman. So there's been quite a big focus or news around violence in schools, which we know is a matter that's been a difficult one to deal with for many, many years. And in a moment, we're going to speak to the spokesperson for the Department of Basic Education, Steve Mabona. We're also hoping a little bit later in the show to speak to Lungelo Dlamini, who's the South African Police Service spokesperson, about, from a policing perspective, what are some of the challenges, but what are some of the suggestions, tools, plans that SAPS has from a policing to deal with the issue of violence in schools. We also have on the line Paul Colditz, who's the CEO at the Federation of Governing Bodies of South African Schools, but also your thoughts on what is needed to deal with the issue of violence in schools, which we can't separate, of course, from the issue of violence in society in general. So we take your calls on 021-446-0567-011-883-0702. We take your SMSs on 31702 and 31567. Paul, thank you very much for joining us this morning. From the Federation of Governing Bodies of SA Schools, what are some of the contributing factors leading to this, what appears to be an escalation in violence in schools? Is it an escalation?
Well, let's start with the question of whether it is an escalation or not. No, at grassroots levels, we don't find that there is a particularly serious escalation of violence in schools. It's always been there. But what has happened now is there's a stronger focus by media and particularly social media on the issues, on these incidents at schools. And they brought to the public's attention through media and particularly social media. It creates the impression that there has suddenly been an increase, which I believe is not correct. Now, what are the reasons? There are two main reasons, and the first is is society at large. We live in a society in which levels of violence are unacceptably high. And that creates the impression amongst children that settling disputes with violent methods is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it comes from. The second one is we've seen incidents lately where adults themselves and prominent adults have resorted to violence to settle their disputes. And the impression is that, well, nothing is going to happen to them. That also creates the wrong impression with our children. We can, if you want to discuss on how do, the real question is, how do we deal with this successfully?
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that we have a recipe to deal successfully with violence, not only violence, but behavior in general in schools, which would eventually influence the entire community.
We're also joined in studio by Steve Mabona, spokesperson for the Department of Basic Education in GP. Steve, thank you very much for coming in and speaking to us this morning.
Good morning to all our listeners.
So the issue of violence in schools, an old matter, not a new one. Certainly, perhaps to Paul's point, that maybe now there's a bit more focus on it in the age of social media, people sharing things on the internet. Perhaps we're getting more insight into what is happening. But with regards to the security issues and violence issues in schools, what are the contributing factors? I imagine the fact that we live in a violent society, so schools are experiencing violence in a violent society, is a big contributing factor.
Thanks very much. I think it cannot be an excuse that there's violence probably in the country, mm-hmm. or then we need to, you know, condone it.
Mm-hmm.
What we are saying as education, we need to assist each other. That is the parents and the education, SGB, all officials or stakeholders that have a role to play in the education sector. Because what we've seen, it's more of ill discipline, where you have a sense of drugs, you know, consumption that is prevailing in our schools. Hence we are saying we will really call upon a process whereby we should be empowered to conduct your drug tests at a very early age. We are looking at doing that at the grade 8 level, where we will create profiles of our learners so that you know if there's an intervention for one to enter into, we will be in a position to do that, you know, put, you know, kids into a necessary program and make sure that they are in an environment that is conducive for learning and teaching. Because we cannot understand whereby a learner will think about assaulting an educator. I mean, it's a no-go. You can't begin to want to assault your parent, because an educator is a parent.
Mm-hmm.
It's a role model, someone that you need to look up to, someone that you need to get education from, you know, knowledge imparted, you know, on you. So you can't even think about assaulting such a person. So we are saying there's an element of a drug problem that we have in our environment, and we cannot shy away from the fact that it's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we go to Nokem Park, the incidents that happened there, you can tell that there's an influence of drugs, an influence of ill discipline, which we really need to work with parents. Hence, we said, let parents come forward, let's work together, let's nip it. Because without an involvement of parents, it will be difficult. Because while we were there on that day, I mean, you search some learners, find them with alcohol. I mean, where do you begin to say you are going to school, but in your bag there's alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
How do you begin in our presence to then want to assault an educator?
Or another learner.
Or another learner. Or even think about assaulting anyone in the schooling environment. So what we are saying, we need to work together. We need to make sure that you know, there's a sense of working together in all aspects. I mean, we have an agreement with the South African Police Services. They are working with us when we say we need to do the random searches or tests or whatever the case might be. They are there for us. So we are saying, let's have now parents work with us. Let's parent as parents.
Mm-hmm. Paul, just to come back to you, so the issue of substance abuse has come up quite a bit, certainly from the Gauteng Education Department. We heard from the MEC saying he believes that drug tests prior to high school admission might be able to assist with the issue of drugs and substance abuse in schools. And from the Federation of Governing Bodies of South Africa, is substance abuse as critical or as big an issue as we've heard from the department?
And yes, and it is.
And is it as early from grade 8?
Well, it is. It even starts at primary school level.
Hmm.
It is a serious problem indeed, and the Schools Act was amended precisely for that purpose, to give principals the authority to conduct random drug tests to try and combat the problem. Unfortunately, it costs the schools money to have those tests done and to have the equipment ready to do the tests, number one. And number two, obviously, it takes time, with school principals already being inundated with a lot of other problems and tasks that they have. So, yes, it is a problem. Schools Act was amended to make provision for that, but that can only happen within the school environment itself.
Mm-hmm.
The school does not have, for example, the right to test prospective learners to the school, only learners that are already in the school, who are subject to the school's code of conduct.
Mm. Yeah. Steve, just to come back to what the South African Schools Act allows for, I think is it Section 8 that allows for it? It gives schools some tools, random searches, seizure, drug testing. But how do those work?
We are saying as the department, that gives us an opportunity to do that randomly, but then there must be a suspicion of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot just do it, you know, sporadically. So there must be some
reason for it.
There must be a reason. There must be some suspicion that this learner might be, you know, involved in the drug, consumption and mm-hmm. all that. So we are saying we need to be empowered. We'll go back and persuade on, you know, amendment of that act to say, give us an opportunity. Working with parents, though, we should be in a position at that level, you know, grade 8. Test the learners, create profiles, because we will know if we detect anything that is drug related, we should be in a position to say, let's then intervene. How do we take through this child? Let's have a program. And when we have probably, you know, managed to test everyone, we should be in a position to can do that even on a quarterly basis. Test, continue, because we all admit that we have a problem. So if we admit that we have a problem, so why must we fold our hands and say, probably we then need to wait and do random testing. So we are saying, let's go and do testing to all, you know, grade eight learners. And if now a need arises, because we see pockets of it, we then drift into the primary schools and also test there. Mm. Because probably one who will come at our high schools would have been at the primary school. So if you test positive, then it means the problem started at primary, and that's what we detect now. So hence we are saying we will deposit the idea, and the necessary probably amendments will then unfold if our, you know, argument is winnable. But we are very positive, because there's no one who's saying we don't have a problem.
Mm. We agree there's a problem.
All of us agree that there's a problem. So why will you say no, don't do it, because you now think about the human rights element of it, violation thereof. But we are saying, if a parent says, I agree, let's, you know, do it. They've given consent. Then we should be empowered. Do it in a very private and in a very, not violating any human rights, in a very human way. Do those tests and have results, and we'll be in a position to say, profile, how do we utilize our psychosocial unit to say, intervene here. These are the learners that you must take them through the process and make sure that they are ready to come back to a school. Because we are also saying, on the issue of expulsion, why do we then want to expel a learner from this school? Within a week or 3 days or so, we move that child to another school. We are like shifting the goalpost. We are moving a problem from one school to another. So we are saying, any learner who's found have transgressed the code of conduct, you know, severely so, that child must be taken through a process, probably a 3 months or even 4 months program, to say, now we are sure that this learner is ready to be taken through, you know, the process of going into the neighboring school. Because schools are very reluctant to take, you know, learners that are ill-disciplined, you know, into their fold, because we are shifting the goalpost. So we are saying, let's have an intensive program. Make sure that we take them through that program, and when they move into another neighboring school, they will be then ready to go into a class and do what they went to do at the school, I mean, which is learning.
Mm. Both of you have mentioned the role of parents, or the need for parents to be a part of the solution, particularly where we know often issues that are at home or issues from home will invariably play out in schools as well. So, you know, issues from the home become problems at school. So we see kids who are hungry at home are also hungry at school. Kids who are exposed to violence are likely to also have experience violence at school or bring violence to schools. And some of the reports from the last couple of days with regards to violence in schools have seen parents actually, in many ways, facilitating the violence, bringing weapons to school or assisting with the bringing of weapons to school. How widespread is that problem?
Now, look, it was just an element of it that came, and we were informed that it just was one, you know, family member who came around. Because remember, these things happened at Northern Cup, Northcombe Park.
High.
Yeah, in Kempton Park. It happened outside the school premises while these learners are waiting for transportation that will be taking them home. So they hang around there outside the school, wait there before they will then go into their transportation. So that kind of culture that they've created, which is really ridiculous, they will then start fight amongst themselves for petty things. So we were then informed that one family member came because one of the learners was then assaulted severely and wanted to come and defend and all those things. So, but then we are saying that element should not even arise. We need to be in a position to can assist as parents, because we are saying we cannot transfer the responsibility of parenting to teachers. Let's play a role. I mean, Department of Basic Education have just released the information about the responsibility of parents, that they must take care of making sure that they educate on sexual engagement, looking at the HIV and AIDS escalation. When you look at the numbers there, to say, as parents, let's play a role. You don't need to educate on how one engage in sexual activity. You need to educate on elements or consequences that will come out of participation in sexual intercourse at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
If you happen to be pregnant. I mean, we came last time to say we had some, very shocking figures of learners who are pregnant at school.
At younger age.
So what are we doing with that? As parents, what role are we playing? So you can't again shift the goalposts and say you can't engage, when coming to sex education with your child, but you shift the goalposts, then at school they will do this
and
that. It's a sore one to begin with. It's very uncomfortable, we know, but it's important that parent must then play a role in leading that process. When the child arrives at school, there will be a sense of continuation thereof.
Paul, on the issue of the role of parents, from the Federation of Governing Bodies of SA Schools, what is the current role of parents, particularly with regards to assisting with the various initiatives aimed at dealing with violence, substance abuse in schools? Are parents, being co-partners, assisting in this process? Do parents even know how they can get involved in that process?
Well, we're experiencing fantastic support from parents, but we do have a serious problem in South Africa with regard to our social structures. More than 50% of learners children between the ages of 3 and 17 do not grow up in a traditional home. More than 15% of the children, 50% of the children are brought up in single mother headed households. So you don't have that stability, that social stability that any normal child would require when wanting to enter into a normal, safe, and secure school environment.
Mm-hmm.
And many of those social problems come to the school with the children. Children don't really have a role model that at home that they could look at. You have many child-headed households in South Africa, so we need to focus on also those children who do not have the stability at home that you and I may have. And that is increasingly becoming a problem for schools in disciplining learners and creating a safe emotional and social environment in schools. What we've done from our side is four years ago, we started with what we call value-driven schools, as opposed to rule-driven schools, where we asked the whole community, the whole school community, parents, grandparents, learners, teachers, non-teaching staff, everybody, to develop a program of values that would drive the education process in that particular school. That community must adopt values, 5, 6, 7 values that they want and that will suit their community, their particular community, to create an environment in which the quality of education can improve. And with that process, we've had significant success. We've had fantastic success with hundreds of schools all over the country. And that is, I think, what every school community should adopt is the principle of a value-driven society, a value-driven school.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have established that value-driven character in the school, we're hoping that that influence would spill over to the rest of the community. So that would also deal with the whole issue of teenage pregnancy. It will deal with the issue of violence and all of those kinds of social ills that we do not want in our education process.
Mm. So approaching the issue of violence in schools as a socioeconomic issue rather than, I guess, and it's part of the solution, but rather than just only a policing issue. So looking at how do we deal with the underlying issues that lead to violence.
Yes.
So joined on the line, if you've just joined us, by the CEO of the Federation of Governing Bodies of SA Schools, Paul Koldwitz. Also joined in studio by the spokesperson for the Gauteng Department for Basic Education, Mr. Steve Mabona. And asking the question, what are some of the solutions? Because I think we all agree there isn't just one solution. But what are some of the solutions? What are the things we need to be looking at to try and deal with the issue of violence in schools? There's been a discussion around perhaps testing, drug testing prior to high school admission, being able to address part of the problem that's often involving substance abuse in schools. What are some of the issues that we need to look at as well? Your thoughts on 021-446-0567. You can also give us a shout on 011-883-0702. Your SMSs on 31702 and 31567.
702 and Cape Talk. Your number one news and talk station.
25 minutes before midday. You're still in the Isibus Makhaza Show on Cape Talk and 702 with me, Gugs Mhlungu. Still speaking about the very serious and urgent issue of violence in schools and what we need, the many approaches that we need to dealing with this issue. Joined on the line by CEO at the Federation of Governing Bodies of SA Schools, Paul Koldwitz. Also joined in studio by the spokesperson for basic education in GP, Steve Mabona. And as mentioned earlier, now joined by South African Police Service provincial spokesperson, Lieutenant Colonel Lungelo Dlamini, to speak from a policing perspective. What are some of the solutions that are being looked at to deal with this issue? And also taking your calls on 021-446-0567 and 011-883-0702. Mbengeni in Parktown, good morning.
A very good morning to you, Gugs, and thank you very much for taking my calls, and a very good morning to 702 listeners as well as your panel there.
Mm-hmm.
The point I want to make here regarding the issue of drugs in schools is correct to say that we must have indeed the search in schools, because I also want to say this on air that I'm one of the chairpersons in one of the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And what is happening now, we've reported this matter several times in police station regarding this issue, and one of the learners have already tested positive regarding drugs issue. And what we have appealed to police is that they should be taking vendors away close to the school, because some of them that are pretending that they are selling sweets, they are indeed selling drugs to these kids. We've got evidence on that, and then I can give you my name to your producer so that if we need to come forward with this matter to the MEC, we are prepared to do so. And I'm very proud for the fact that the MEC has taken initiatives to ensure that school is a safe place to be. Because us as SGB, our role is to support educators and principals and the best interest of learners in the school so that school is a safe place. But with the issue of Nyaube, it has become a norm, a tradition in the school in South Africa. So we are appealing to the MEC indeed that you can call in Mbizo for the SGB to discuss this matter in a broad range. Because I'm telling you, Gooks, within 2020 will be having hobos in our school, and there is a spot in British Taxi Rank where they are stealing Nyaupe. I've got evidence on that, and if they want me to come to the board, I'm prepared to do so. So I'm really indeed a concerned parent, a concerned citizen for the education, because these kids in 2020, I'm telling you with no doubt to the panel as well, to the spokesperson of the MEC, that we are indeed in trouble.
So, I thank you. Just to find out, Mingini, which area of the school you are on the SGB for, which area is it in?
I'm sure the member there of South African Police Service will concur with me. I'm talking about Parktown Hillbrow. That is where Nyaupe has been sold to learners. We've got evidence on that as SGBs. We've done our best. We've been liaising with the Hillbrow Police Station to come to the board, and we were on the view that we have to take initiative by handing over a memorandum. But you will know for the fact that the spokesperson of the MEC will agree with me that the Department of Education, they actually doesn't want to be on the media perspective, based on the fact that we have to consult with them first, but surely nothing has been done up so far. The other place that I'm talking about in Bridge Street, British rank, I mean, so there's a park there. You will see a hawker selling sweets, and he's selling drugs. They are also smoking marijuana and all those kind of things, which the police, they've got evidence on that. Those people, they are arrested within a short space of time. They are out again. They are standing even close to the police station.
I want to give the spokesperson an opportunity to respond. Thank you very much for raising that. Lieutenant Colonel Lamini, thank you very much for joining us. I don't know how much of the earlier conversation you caught, but the issue around policing in schools, how is South African Police Service dealing with these issues, specifically where SGB say, you know, they've reported matters and it appears that the people who are implicated don't get dealt with? So what is the program of action from SAPS?
From time to time, we are conducting school raids, depending on the information that we receive from the principals. And the principals, sometimes they will call us that we have to conduct raids because they suspect that there might be kids who are maybe selling drugs or maybe selling dagga. Whilst we are conducting those raids, we do find some drugs, and we also do find some weapons that are carried by the children.
So what happens after those raids? Because I think that was also part of the concern from the caller, was after those raids, what then happens?
So most, when we have arrested these school kids, we take them to court, and then the Department of Justice deals further with those children.
And what is the rate of, you know, conviction? What is the process? What has been the success with the justice system dealing with these issues?
Unfortunately, I cannot speak for on behalf of the Department of Justice. Maybe if we can get somebody from the NPA, he can maybe elaborate on these issues.
We've got Mike in Midrand on the line. Mike, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Gokes. Can
yes,
you hear me?
Mike, yes, we can.
Yes, hi, good morning. I've got three school-going children, and my daughter was subjected to quite severe bullying and what have you, to the extent that we had to pull her out of her school and move her. And based on that, you know, I started thinking about what we could do to change that situation from happening again. And what happened was I got a license for a piece of software, which is effectively an anonymous reporting app designed specifically for schools and school children. Because obviously I think that, you know, the big problem that school children face is that they are fearful of reporting, you know, whether it's figures of authority or bullies in school or kids that are dealing drugs or whatever the case may be. They're scared of speaking up and either being seen as a snitch or facing retribution. You know, and so the benefit of this thing is that it's an anonymous reporting system that gives the kids a voice to be able to speak up and assist in identifying problems before they get out of control. And the reason why I'm calling in is we would very much love to partner with the department in trying to roll this kind of system out in, to all sorts of schools, to underprivileged children and everything else. We want to be a partner. We want to help, you know, improve the situation and give kids a voice so that we can avoid these situations and, you know, violence being on social media and racism and bullying and all the rest of it. You know, schools should be a safe haven. That's got to be the fundamental principle. Kids shouldn't have to face these issues when they're going to learn. So, you know, if it's possible, I'd like to get in contact with the department. Maybe you could share my details through your producers. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to be a partner. We want to help.
Mm. We'll put you in touch with our guest today, the spokesperson for the Basic Education Department. So I'll put you back to my producers to get those details to you, Mike.
Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you very much. That's Mike and Aldo. Charmaine in Eldorado Park, good morning.
Good morning. First of all, you know, it's very sad to see what's going on, but it's been going on for such a long time, and nothing has been done. I mean, I was the chairperson of a school governing body in Eldorado Park, and Mary Metcalf was still the MEC of Education that time. I was asked about the violence because I witnessed girl gangs and boy gangs at the school. And, you know, we raised this issue, and I was solely condemned, you know, and I was asked to retract my statement because I said there is violence at the schools, and we need to do a survey to establish what kind of violence there is because it's different at different schools. And, you know, so nothing has been done. I've asked for governing, you know, for police to do bag and body searches. Nothing happened. And it's just gone worse and worse and worse. And I'd like to say this, that each and every one is a finger pointing at you guys for the violence and the situations at school. Because, first of all, we fail our children in foundation phase. There are a lot of children that don't cope. And what happens, these children get promoted and promoted into the next level of, they don't cope. They drop out. These are our dropouts. These are our drug addicts. These are our teenage pregnancies. So we need to address early education properly, and then we'll address, we're grabbing the dog's tails at the moment now. Addressing drug issues, addressing violence, it stems from the basic foundations. Then we have the other element of teachers insulting children when their school fees are not paid. They make remarks, and I witness it. Yeah, your mother with lung cigarettes, but yeah, your school phone is putani. These are the children that don't go to school. Now, what happens to a child like this? They drop out of school, they can't continue, and they're powerless. And if you look at every drug addict or every person that is involved in violence, something has hurt them so badly. So guys, I'm saying to parents, teachers, education department, there's fingers pointing at all of you. And unless you do something and address this whole thing holistically, we'll be just grabbing dog's tails all over the show, and we'll be running around chasing dog's tails like headless chickens. So education department, parents, everybody, get involved, have a seminar, get in every community, get them actively and aggressively involved. Mm. And last but not least, let us also do drug tests with the police, because let me tell you, the police are involved in these children. That is why nothing is done, because why? They are selling the drugs for the police at the schools. As far as the justice system is concerned, they fail us dismally, because these children get arrested. What happens to that? The docket, the case gets struck from the roll at the courtrooms, never gets back to the court, but that child has a criminal conviction, or when they go for a job at any point in time, that, because their fingerprints were taken, it's on the record, and they can't get a job. So you know what? It's just going from, just spiraling deeper and deeper and deeper.
Thank you very much for your call, Charmaine.
I recommend that we have a seminar where we address every issue and tackle it and get people with this planning committee that the government has in place. Let this planning committee have somebody actively involved.
Mm, thank you very much, Charmaine. That's Charmaine in Eldorado Park. Before we go to a break, Steve, do you want to respond to some of the issues Charmaine has raised?
No, look, she's correct. I mean, on us being involved, like, hence we are saying as the department, because everyone acknowledges that we have a problem. So we're not going to be folding our arms and doing nothing about it.
Mm.
Hence, we are saying, for us, we need to have profiles of all our lenders. That's what we are saying. Because testing will not be just testing for the sake of it. We'll test, but then we'll be creating profiles for our lenders to say, we know all our grade A's. This is their profile. When we're looking at this problem of drugs, this is where we are standing. We can even have the number of lenders. And if we need to intervene, we will be informed to say, we intervene. Because like as it was said, I mean, the principals, they will only act on suspicion. Now, when there's a suspicion, we will not know at what level is that learner, probably hooked into the drugs. So you will be in a position to can detect at the lower level so that we can then intervene and make sure that we have an environment that is clean, that we don't have a problem of drugs. And like as she said, I mean, parents have a role to play. Let's not really shift the goalpost. As parents, let's play our role. And if there's something that is wrong that is happening in the community, let's report to the police. Let's report to the police. If people need to be arrested, those that are peddling, you know, drugs, they need to be arrested. I mean, we can't get tired of reporting elements that are untoward or criminal activity. We need to make sure that we take responsibility and report those cases to the police.
Continuing with your calls on 021-446-0567 and 011-883-0702 when we come back.
702 and Cape Talk. Your number one news and talk station.
8 minutes before midday, welcome back to the show. Still joined in studio by the spokesperson for the Department of Basic Education in GP, Steve Mabona. Also have Paul Coldwitz, the CEO of the Federation of Governing Bodies of SA Schools. And also have Lungelo Dlamini, that's a South African Police Service spokesperson on the line. Lungelo, just on the issue of policing and schools, what is the role that parents can play? I mean, we've heard police coming into schools where they've been given permission to do so, where they're able to do so. But do we see parents actively also bringing issues to policing or to the police, police's attention? And where they can't, what are the issues? Why aren't they doing so?
If you name the schools, are learning institutions. I think the kids, they go to schools to learn. And then while they're at school, I think the principals or maybe the teachers, they are the people who will know more better about the kids there. If there is anything, if there is anything suspicious, they must bring those issues to the attention of police. Most of the hours, the kids are at school and then the parents are not there. Some of the things they don't see. But we encourage the parents, if they see any, if they suspect anything on their children, maybe they must from time to time check their bags and see if there is anything that is offensive, like weapons, like drugs, and all those things.
They
must continually check on their school kids.
Before we let you go, spokesperson, the issue of the hotspots, that keeps coming up quite a lot. The issue of people who either pretend or front as legitimate vendors outside schools, known places where people, you know, there's the trade happening. What is being done about those? Is SAPS aware of them? Is there more policing done of those areas?
We need more information about those areas. It's where the parents or whoever suspect that there is something that contributes to criminal activity. We need the information so that we can look at those issues.
Thank you very much for joining us. That's SAPS Provincial Spokesperson, Lieutenant Colonel Lungelo Dlamini. Paul, just to come back to you before we wrap up, in terms of the next steps from the governing bodies of SA schools, what for you guys is the most important step to deal with these issues? We've heard numerous callers speak about an imbizo, which involves all stakeholders. Is that the way to go from the side of the governing bodies of the SA schools?
Well, let me just start by saying that we as schools and school governing bodies need all the support from all sectors of the community, in particular Department of Education, police, to assist us in maintaining a safe environment at the schools. We've had an Mbizo 3 years ago, but that hasn't resulted in much. So we have to return to the responsibility, Department of Education, Provincial Department of Education, District Offices of Department of Education has to take up. We have to return to closer relationships between the schools and the police. We have the Adopt a Copt initiative, which I believe most schools would have implemented in their schools, because the majority of schools in South Africa will probably have police officers as parents at those schools. So, and then as far as the whole issue of drugs and drug addiction and drug peddling is concerned, we need the kind of initiative that we've heard from MEC Lesufi and the Gauteng Department of Education to control the situation outside of the school before the kids get into the school, because the school only has jurisdiction over those children when they are in the schools. And there is, for example, with the issue of drugs and drug abuse, the reasonable suspicion that is required before the school can act with regard to a particular learner. So I think, and then from our side, we'll be driving this value-driven approach for schools, which I've said is extremely successful, and want to roll it out and take hands with the department so that we can have a new approach to discipline in schools, to creating these safe environments based on a value-driven approach.
Thank you very much. That's the CEO of the Federation of Governing Bodies of SA Schools, Paul Caldwitz. And also thank you to the spokesperson of Gauteng Basic Education, Steve Mabona. Thank you very much for coming in, Steve.